Carrie, our next item is old business. We have six items of old business this evening. The first one being conditional use, number 1943, Charles L. Williams.
And Mr. Chairman, that's in my area, and as you know, we've had some discussion about this, and I want to pass down some reasons that I came up with for considering a position that I have perhaps come to concerning this particular project, and as well as some additional comments that I have with that. And as part of that, I would like to hear the comments from my fellow commissioners about that before making a motion on this particular application. And some of the points, as I've handed out, share that I'm not sure that this is a conditional use that should be approved. Not so much that, partly, I guess, as was presented in the application, but I'm not quite sure that this is really a business that has taken place here before or here to now. Because as you all well know, that in this county and probably across the country, we have a lot of individuals that work on cars as a hobby, whether they're street cars or drag cars or stock cars or just for their own use and enjoyment. So I'm not quite sure what was going on there because of conflicting information that we received in the public hearing as to whether it really was a Jiffy Lube type business operating there or whether it was a bunch of friends that were hanging out and having a good time and enjoying the facilities that Mr. Williams had built. At the same time, as to whether or not it is determined to be a business operating there, if it were a business, I'd be opposed to it, given its location in a rural AR1 district, and especially given the property does not have direct access to the road, but rather is having to share a driveway with a residence. You know, we're not talking about a street that's running back there that people would have use of, but more of a personal driveway. In addition, since this applicant is really not able to work due to his work-related disabilities, and if he was gainfully employed, that certainly could impact on his workers' comp. But to me, the proposed use is basically a renting out of the facility. And typically when you rent a property, you do not have as much control over a business as if it's your own business, whether you're employees and you control all the operations of it. And I guess thirdly, the additional point I have is that that's not listed there is that just because the building is there and could be used for a business purpose doesn't, in my estimation, entitle the applicant to operate a business from the building if it's not properly zoned and would not have an impact on the nearby residents and community. So if this were to be used as a business, then I think it would have a negative impact on the community and the neighboring individuals. So that's my thoughts.
Okay. Well, Mr. Johnson, I tend to agree with you. My couple of concerns that on its face, a conditional use might solve one person's problem, but my concern is for everyone else who is involved. This isn't a building that's sitting off by itself somewhere. It's it does share a driveway with folks who really had no reason to contemplate that they would ever be sharing it for a commercial use, and that concerns me. The building was built as a garage, as an accessory building to a residence, legally done for that purpose. It's not currently approved for business use, and of course that's what we're here to talk about. So I'm tend to agree with your assessment. Gentlemen?
Well, Mr. Johnson, thank you for asking for our comments, and something that I thought about in considering this is I had to, as difficult as it was, I still had to draw the distinction that this was not a referendum on whether this fellow is a good man or a good neighbor or doesn't do just capable and able things, you know, for the benefit of his neighbors, but the application is for a conditional use to operate on a basis that I think goes over and beyond strictly a hobby, and my inclination, as I say, taking the personal out of it, was for a motion for denial of the conditional use application.
Mr. Smith makes a good distinction that's worth repeating. This is about land use. It is not about the character of the owner or the character of the neighbors, for that matter. It's about appropriate land use, nothing more and nothing less. We're fortunate that the vast majority of people that come into this room are good people, well-meaning, wanting to do the right thing in the way that they see it. And sometimes we have to make decisions that don't necessarily make everybody happy. But it's a land use decision. It's not about the gentleman, not about anything else other than that.
That is what I took away from it, is that we're looking at it as a conditional use. And when you look at it as the conditional use in that area, is that appropriate?
And it travels with the land. This gentleman could sell it to somebody else. The conditional use would stay in force. And they could run a totally different operation.
The as I understand the discussion, then the owner would still be able to do what he's doing today without the conditional use?
Well, I think the owner would be able to use the property as he had been using it for his own personal use.
That's my understanding. I mean, yeah, because it appears to be a personal use of the property. I don't think we have any. We're not in a situation, at least that I know of, that we're telling him he has to stop doing what he's doing. I know there's some disagreement about what it is that he's doing, but basically there really isn't anything in the record that would indicate he was doing anything other than what he said he was doing.
And one thing I would just say with when you say personal use, that tends to indicate that it's one person, you know, working on a car. You know, whether you've got friends or people working on their cars in your garage, you know, and it's not a business, you know, sort of a get-together like that's probably no different than having a bunch of people together to watch a football game. You know, I think when you talk about personal use, I don't want it to indicate that just means it's just one guy working in his garage, because what I don't want to do is create this the idea that, you know, if you do have somebody, whether they're working on, you know, a dirt track race car somewhere, that, you know, and they're getting together during the week after work working on their car, that now that requires a conditional use, and I don't think that's the case. So I just want to make, when we say personal, it's not singular, it's more, you know, a hobby type thing, not a business. That's what we're talking about.
So the issue really revolves around whether the gentleman can charge for his facility or not while it's being used, which is, like you said, Mr. Johnson, similar to a rental. So basically that's the bottom line of his application, is he's trying to generate some additional income, not from work, but from the use of his first-class facility. Whereas now he really can't charge, because then he would be in violation. Am I saying
I think
that?
That's true.
That's correct.
Accurate statement.
So the matter is does he, you know, put up a donation box and have a schedule of recommended donations for use and circumvent the whole thing or what? So I think the Hatfields and McCoys are going to continue to fight out there regardless of what we decide to do.
Yeah, I think, following what you're saying, Mr. Ross, I think whether we had approved it as a, or whether we do approve it as a conditional use and put all kinds of stipulations on it like we have the ability to do, we're still going to be in the enforcement business. You know, we're still going to have the neighbors that are going to watch him and see, are they complying with all those conditions, and then have a source of complaining to the county, just as they do now. You know, if there's, as they have done, as we have sent out inspectors to check on the property, and cars were removed that were inappropriate, because as I understand it, they're allowed to, he's allowed to have two untitled vehicles outdoors. You know, now if he has some in the shop, that's a different story, but basically the county permits, you know, two untitled vehicles on our property. I don't know if there's a restriction in the code that says how many personal cars I can own, if I'm a collector of cars, I don't know if there's anything that says I can't have a fleet of 10 vehicles, as long as they're tagged.
As long as they're tagged, yeah. I think you're fine.
So, the issue of the junk cars, have been addressed, can continue to be addressed by the county. It's just a question of, does this become a full-fledged mechanical operation? Which, my belief is that that's inappropriate for this area.
Well, the question then is, are the neighbors that have been following the complaints with the county about this use, which caused the application, better off with the restrictions and the conditional use, or better off chasing this rather more difficult issue of trying to catch the donation box being stuffed? And I tend to lean in the other direction. I think the restrictions that were proposed were very strict, no more than two cars per day. I mean, as I recall, I'd have to review the record. But some pretty stiff restrictions on activity there, which should be relatively easy to document for violation purposes, whereas a donation box might be relatively uneasy to document, as we know through going through different functions where raffle tickets are sold for drinks when people don't have a license. So I don't know. I mean, it's not an easy issue, I understand, but I tend to think that having something on the record as far as what can be done would be easier to monitor and police than something that's so vague as a volunteer donation box.
And I'm certainly not promoting the use of a volunteer donation box. I think that, we have, in our country, we have a huge underground industry. Where people are working and charging and for their services, all the pickup trucks we see riding around the neighborhood with lawnmowers, and I doubt they're all filing income tax returns and buying business licenses and, et cetera. That goes on now. I mean, whether, as a farmer, if you have a building that's available and you have some buddies that want to, refurbish some antique tractors, do you charge them for the use of your tools and your utilities or whatever, or do you just accept a case of beer? What's your trade-off?
Well, if there were a different sort of underlying zoning, it might be different too. Because here again, gentlemen, it's a land use question.
Right.
Current zoning there is AR1. Very little can happen there. It can either be a residence or a church. That's pretty much it. So that's what I'm looking at is permitting a business use there. If it already had some type of zoning that would permit a number of other business type uses, then I think that changes the dynamic entirely. But in this instance, where it's an AR1 land, I think we need to tread carefully. And I want to remind everyone, anyone in our in the audience this evening, you might have an interest in this. Just reminding you, we make a recommendation to County Council. County Council will make the final decision. They've already had their hearing, and they'll make a decision at some point after we do. So typically.
Well, and as we all know, and this is part of my bigger concern is, from the land use standpoint, is that. We've all had the experience where we approve one project and then it becomes stepping stone for more projects that perhaps are more intensive and are not appropriate for the area. And obviously they use our, any of our approvals as, you know, as a precedent setting, change of zone to do that. So, you know, that again is one of the issues or concerns that I would have is what impact would our approval of this one project eventually have on the you know, the surrounding community. Yeah. Today we have a limited automobile. Next thing you know, we've got somebody coming in with an auto body shop or whatever. So,
okay.
All right. So, if I might beg the indulgence of the commission, what I'd like to do is at the end of old business, I'll then be prepared to present a motion.
Okay. So, you want to table this? You want to table this and revisit it at the end of the agenda? Is that your?
At the end of other business.
And the end of which essentially is the end of the agenda this evening, but yeah, right. That's fine.
I mean, excuse me, old business. It's part of old business.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I don't see any reason. I have no objection, gentlemen. If you want to put that in the form of a motion, do we need a motion to table or can we just table by consensus?
I think you can just by consensus.
Okay.
We're not tabling it to a later meeting.
We're going to move on and we'll be back, I'm willing to say, probably in about 20 minutes. Okay. Our next